She's feisty, she's funny, and she tells it like it is. Get ready for Empower Readings with Corby Mitlide. What are your opportunities right now? What are the possibilities? Ask Corby and cross the bridge from fear to fearlessness and fly. Here's your host, Corby Mitlide.
And good evening on this rather soggy Thursday night. As Hurricane Andrea comes barreling up the coast. And it's spring, summer, and all kinds of things are popping and blooming and causing all kinds of allergies. And for those of you in certain areas of brood, too, do you have your cicadas yet? I understand that some people actually eat them. No, thank you. Little crunchy bits like that are not my gig. But what we are going to talk about tonight is food that's good for you and how to clear out your body from food that has not been so good for it. And I have brought on two of my absolutely fave ladies. We have Christine Seely King from AskChefChristy.com and the wonderful Kasia Cummings from Whole Health Evolution and Buffalo Gal Organics. They come to detox from two very interesting but compatible directions. So I'm going to invite them to introduce themselves to you, the audience, and then let's have at it. Christy, let's start with you.
Hi, everybody. My name is Christy, and I have detoxified. I have detoxified this year, as a matter of fact. I am a chef instructor, and I teach people how to cook. And I teach people how to read labels and think about food. And I help clients that have complicated medical or just health-related dietary restrictions that have to combine, say, gluten-free and dairy-free and blood pressure medication or Coumadin and corn allergy, you know, whatever. They have a variety of different health problems that make it very difficult for them to come up with a good diet. I've worked with people on detoxification for many years. I used to work with a large health food co-op, and I started out working in the herb department, and I would regularly have people come in and ask about detoxification, and I took a lot of company training on their various products. So we were joking a little bit before we started the show about how I have talked to many people about their colons and their regularity, shall we say. So it's a fun topic to get into. So yay, we're going to talk about the digestive system. Woo!
All right, Kasia, you're up.
Well, I don't know if I can follow that up with the poop talk, but here I am. My name is Kasia Cummings. Thank you for joining us tonight. I also, like Chef Christy, have detoxed this year, and I'm loving it. I'm a medicinal chemist, and I'm a certified holistic health coach and also an entrepreneur. I make organic skincare and body products as well because body, mind, and spirit connected is very important for me. I work with people with detox and nutrition on a daily basis. I work for a major company in the Northeast that has nutrition and holistic foods, so I'm one of their managers there. And I also work with them personally on a one-on-one basis, and I also teach classes for detoxification, which is lovely, lovely, lovely. One of the biggest things that I feel is that our food is a very important part of our life, but also the way we deal with food, how we look at food, and how food makes us feel is just as important for detoxification as what we're putting in our mouths. So yay for emotions. We'll talk a little bit more about that and probably a little more about poop, too.
Can you tell that we three know each other very well? So let's start out. Why detox? People say to me, well, I'm eating healthy, so why do I need to detoxify? And there are a bunch of other people that say, well, all food is poisoned, all food is GMO, nothing we eat is good, so why even bother? So these are the why do I need to do it from two absolutely different perspectives. How do you talk to them? How do you say you need to detox because?
Well, I think I want to start with seasonal food. Look at the way the food becomes available to us. When we go through the winter time, we tend to live indoors. We don't get as much sunlight. We're not producing as much vitamin D. We eat preserved foods. We eat a lot more starches, carbohydrates, things like winter squashes and potatoes and chunky vegetable-y stews if you're a vegetarian, or a lot more meat products if you're not. And by the time you get to spring, the things that are in the farmers markets, the first products that you see when you go shopping, are the bitter spring greens. Nature is producing a natural detoxifier for us. The first thing that comes up are these bitter greens, and they're there to help get our digestion started again, to give us a kickstart, to allow us to remove the sludge that we've had build up to keep us warm over the winter. So I would start any argument or any discussion with somebody who wanted to be argumentative about it by saying, nature designed it this way. Our foods come to us in this way so that we have the ability to detoxify when we need it.
Kasia? Why detox, Kasia?
Well, I really think, again, like Chef Christie said, Ayurvedically speaking, the seasons bring us what we need to have, what our body absolutely needs. But on another level as well, emotionally, detoxing starts to bring out emotions and feelings that we hold that are deep-seated within our bodies. Most of our toxins, if not all of our toxins that aren't eliminated, are held in our fat cells. Through the winter, as we're eating all those starchy carbs and we're really, fattening ourselves up for the cold months, that's what our bodies are designed for, we store things. And we also store our emotional attachment to food. So in the spring, and coming into now into the summer as well, when we have those lighter foods, foods that will pull the toxins out of our bodies, we have that opportunity to actually start looking and assessing our connection, emotional connection to what we've eaten and what we're going to be eating. I think it's incredibly important that when we try to detox, we are in touch with those emotions that will be coming out when you start to eat healthier.
Yes, because detoxification will bring those things back out to the surface, and losing those particular fat cells will make you revisit those emotions. I have had that happen to me. It's true.
Absolutely. Me
Why
too.
Does it work that way? Why does it work that way?
Well, as your body biochemically will process and hold on to things, our natural fat is one of those things. It'll hold on to certain vitamins because they're fat-soluble, A's and things like that. But it will also hold on to toxins just the way your body, if it can't eliminate everything, if you're not going poop, like we said you should, it has to go somewhere. Your body has to do something with it. Your body is ingenious. It is so amazing. And when it can't eliminate it, it has to store it, and fat is its vehicle of choice. So as those toxins accumulate, and they accumulate in your fat cells and you get bigger, that's what happens.
And your body is made up of more than just the food that you put in. You've got biochemical responses. You've got, psychic energies around you, and the traumas that are occurring to you at the time are also stored. I mean, I don't want to step into the two of you have your own areas here, and I'm kind of treading on both of them. But I agree. Your fat cells and all of those things that are stored, they store your emotions as well. So yeah, it can be more than a little scary to get really deeply into a detox. If you make yourself, I don't want to say it that way. If you come up against a problem as you are cleansing, it's a good thing. As long as you can take it in small little steps and deal with it as it comes out. Crisis of healing is what that's called. You don't want to over detoxify. You can definitely overdo it and make yourself very sick, because you can dump a lot of stuff into your system that your system can't eliminate fast enough, and you reabsorb it. And that's true on the emotional level as well as on the chemical level.
Absolutely.
What are some of the mistakes that people make when they try to detox too fast?
Going too fast. That's number one mistake. Trying to do too many things at once. Trying to detoxify from too many things at once. There's an author that I like very much by the name of Elson Haas, Dr. Elson Haas, and he's written several books on detoxification. And his daily detox diet discusses the fact that if you give up one thing, you're detoxifying. So if you decide that you are a smoker and you want to give up cigarettes, you are in essence detoxifying. You need to do more detoxification later on, but that's one thing. If you give up bacon, if you give up chocolate, God forbid, if you give up anything that you decide that you're going to eliminate from your diet, you are in essence detoxifying from that one thing. There's no need to detoxify from everything all at once. Small little baby steps is much easier on your body to deal with.
Absolutely, I agree. And, you know, it depends on your level of health as well. There are people who, like you said, that could be a smoker or someone who drinks heavily. In order for them to get to the level, depending on what line of the path they're on, they need to go much slower. People who are regularly eating very healthy and have a really good diet, if you want to call it a diet, I really call it a lifestyle, they can do things a little bit more aggressively because their bodies are used to those types of things. So it really depends on where you are on your health path as well.
So how do you determine where is the first place you need to go? How do you determine what you need to detox from in the first place?
Well, you can take a look at your diet. I mean, if you are eating the sad standard American diet and your diet consists of cheeseburgers and processed foods and foods from the inside of the aisles of the grocery store, that would be your first start. And changing out one food at a time for something from the outside of the store. So you're shopping the fresh aisles instead of the packaged aisles. I mean, that talk about your really, really preliminary baby step, that's way back there. And so you can slowly but surely start replacing item for item. But if you really want to figure out what you need to take out of your diet, an elimination diet is very popular. I did that for myself and have continued to kind of refine that. And that's where you remove the most popular, the most prevalent food allergens, take them out of your diet for a period of time, from a week to a month to 6 weeks, however long you want, and then you start slowly reintroducing things back into your diet to see what you may be reactive to. Once you've determined that, and there's also blood tests you can take. There's the ALCAT, and there's other blood tests and allergy tests that you can take to determine what those things are. Then you can start working on eliminating them from your diet and then detoxifying after they've been eliminated. So it's really a long process. It's not something that you want to go in, buy a box off the shelf, take 6 pills in the morning and 6 pills at night, and really just flush your system out, because you can definitely get yourself in trouble that way.
Yeah, and taking pills is not on our agenda, I would say, as a detox diet, because you really can hurt and harm your system, and people sometimes, when they go too fast, will do that. When I work with my clients, one of the things that we also look at, coming from a emotional standpoint or a spiritual standpoint, we'll look at something called the circle of life. And on that circle of life, we look at points of interest, such as spirituality, exercise, finances, your relationship state, etc. There are many other things along that point. And when we look at how satisfied you are within those points along the wheel, we can start to look at nutrition along with that as well, like filling your plate with your primary food. That's what we call it, your primary food. And then secondarily addressing your secondary food as nutrition. So when I work with my clients, that's one of the things that we talk about as well, that it's not just the food that we're eating, but maybe there are some other issues that we can touch on first that may be sabotaging them or not giving them the confidence to eat the things that they need to do as well.
All right, Cassia, I'm not sure I understand the concept of primary and secondary foods. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
You bet. Okay. As a holistic nutritionist, I don't just look at what you're putting in your mouth. Yes, absolutely. We look at nutrition. We look at the food. We look at the content. We look at labels. And we look at what you're eating on a daily basis with journaling and things like that. But that's really secondary to your happiness quotient, your life satisfaction quotient, if you will. And it's called primary food. It's what you fuel your body, mind, and spirit with. So if you're unhappy in your job and you're stressed, you may not make the best choice to put into your mouth food-wise, nutritionally. So you may reach for the salty snack that gives you the comfort level, or you may go out and eat that ice cream that you've avoided for the past 3 months because you really had a horrible day at work. That's the difference between primary and secondary. So when you look at the things that complete your life and you can get them to the level that you are happy with, then we can look at your secondary food and your nutrition to help nourish your body and help it be its absolute best. Does that explain what that means?
I think so. Christy, what do you think?
I'm still a little confused, but I like the concept. But are you saying that the primary food is not actual food? Primary food is what feeds your soul.
Exactly. Primary food is what feeds your soul. It feeds your happiness level. It feeds your satisfaction within your life. Are you satisfied at work? Are you, your exercise regimen, is that something that you do or you don't do? And that's part of feeding your soul as well. Exercise and movement creates energy flow within our system that opens us up energetically. It gives us a spiritual connection. Spirituality as well, not necessarily a religion per se, but how do we connect with our source? How do we connect with our soul? That's all primary food. So it's a totally different level and a totally different relationship that than just eating plain nutrition and just doing, a detox or whatever. That comes along with the package. But as you are happier in your life with your primary foods, your secondary foods tend to fall into place a little bit easier.
So going back to your initial question, Corby, about what do people do wrong, I would say they tend to think of it as just a single function. And they don't take into account that it's an overall whole world view of how you approach your lifestyle. So I think that might probably be the number one, what do people do wrong, is they don't understand that they're having to look at the whole package. Because that's really scary. It's really scary to have to look at yourself and go, oh, I have to change my entire life, or I have to look at my entire life. And, that's a tough thing to do. So people get scared of that.
When you have to change everything and there is nothing that looks like you're allowed to do it, you throw up your hands, you say screw it, and go have a tequila and a hot fudge sundae.
Well, and not only that, but people I know from working in a health food store, people come in and they've been trained that they can go to a pharmacy and get a pill to fix whatever it is. And so they walk into a health food store and they want a pill to fix whatever it is, but they want a healthy pill. And it's a very big learning curve of to have to make them understand that I am not a pharmacist and I cannot advise you. I can tell you what these things are used for. But you have to make that decision for yourself. You have to take your own health into your hands, be accountable for your own thing, and educate yourself. And that's a lot of work, and people balk at that. They want somebody to be able to say, here's a box, take these pills, that does the same thing as that other stuff, only it's natural and everybody's happy. We'll take your money. It's a lot bigger picture than that.
The pill mentality is pharmaceutical mentality, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I will say that the cleanse that I just did, I did take a box a cleanse as part of it, mainly for the fiber and the extra cleansing herbs. I've been doing that for years. It's not the only thing I do when I'm on a cleanse, but I do incorporate that when I do my springtime. You know, after Christmas, I got to get the Mrs. Claus pounds off.
Okay. Cassie, you started to say something, and we railroaded you. What was it you were going to say?
That's okay. Unfortunately, I feel that most people want the quick fix. And sometimes when they hear the word detox or cleanse, they think it's going to be very hard and difficult. And it can be, I suppose, if you do it too quickly. But, you know, there is no magic pill. There is no magic pill. You need to work at this. You need to do little steps along the way. I, because I work in a health food store as my primary job, have people come in, same situation, where they're looking for raspberry ketones or, you know, white bean extract or green coffee bean, and they're thinking that they're going to take that little pill and life is going to be just fine. And they're going to be skinny, and they're going to look like a Victoria's Secret supermodel, and they're going to have their angel wings, and they're going to be walking down the runway, and life is going to be awesome. And it's not true.
So not I even think the pharmaceutical industry has come up with that pill.
I know. If they had it, then we'd all be thin and beautiful, and we'd be out of a job.
Right.
But, you know, I agree with you, because it's really sometimes people want to come in, and they want that quick fix, and they don't realize that it's going to take some modification to their lifestyle, that a permanent modification, not just for 2 days or 2 weeks. It's a permanent modification in order to create that path to health.
Okay. We have about 5 minutes before we hit break. For those of you listening, this is Empower Readings. It's Corby Midline, and I have as my fabulous guests Christine Silly King from AskChefChristy.com and Kasia Cummings from Whole Earth Evolution and Buffalo Gal Organics. We are going to be taking your calls about what do you do, detox, this is my situation, on the second half of the show. You got two brilliant, knowledgeable women here. Take advantage of it. 248-809-3475. That's 248-809-3475. If it has to do with your diet, if it has to do with you're not feeling so good, if it has to do with every time I look at a pretzel, my ear falls off, do I need to stop looking at pretzels? I mean, we don't really care what it is, but if it has to do with food and detox, we're going to talk about it. I know that's a very rare sort of thing, and you guys might not have run into it, but I'm sure it's out there somewhere. So as far as how we're going to take the second half of the show, if you ladies have particular questions you would love to have somebody ask, or particular parts of detox that you love to discuss, what are they? Cassia, you want to take the emotional side. What else?
Absolutely, and we can talk a little bit about digestion and metabolism. So if anybody has some questions about that, or specialty metabolic things like thyroid disease or something like that, because they could never lose the weight, I'd love to touch on that.
Okay, cool. Christy, what about you?
Maybe some specific foods that can help during your detoxification process. We talked a little bit about the spring greens, and maybe we can talk about other types of seasonal foods that can help at different times of the year.
Okay, and I know that one of the things I'm going to want, and I've talked to both of you ladies about that in my own little tritzing down the detox road, is what do you do when you're on the road at least 4 days a week? You do not have as much control over your food intake. You don't know what's out there, but it's on the plate, and it's, you know, you have to feed yourself. So that's another thing. Not only just when circumstances are lovely and we can all detox at home and hug our kitties when we're cranky and stuff like that, but you're on the road. you're feeding a large family and they are not going to detox with you. You have a dinner party with 12 different dietary restrictions. How do you make it work? Those are all part of living a normal life. And so you have to find out how you can deal with that, because that's just one more excuse. Oh, well, I'm having a dinner party in 2 weeks. I can't detox, or I'm on the road all the time. And, you know, if all there is for me to eat is a Diet Pepsi and Cheez-Its from the hotel pantry, what do? And. So these are all of the lovely things that you can say. That's not an excuse. This is what you do. Okay? So we are off to our break. We will be talking to you in just a minute with Christy Sealing King and Kasia Cummings about how to clean yourself out from the inside to get your life detoxed as well.
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on and lost cat stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See? That's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
This is the story of a boy wizard whose name was Larry Smarter.
Larry, why weren't you in Professor Dinky Doodle's mythical creature classification class?
Larry wanted to go to college, so he visited knowhowtogo.org to find which classes he really needed.
You missed the lesson on telling dragons from dragonflies.
Right. I want to go to college, so I'm taking Algebra 2, Biology, and a foreign language.
Foreign language? You mean so you can talk to unicorns?
Well, not exactly. Unless they're French.
But Larry had no time for unicorns, or even for Miss Petunia Tutti's time-traveling tutorial, which met every other yesterday at 25 o'clock.
Sorry I'm late. My snarkball game went into overtime.
And he knew knowhowtogo.org was way better than hoping for a snarkball scholarship. So, while his friends all aced invisibility, when Larry finally got to college, they were nowhere to be seen.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
Play ball!
Now pitching, Dave Black.
Dave is about to catch his opponent off guard. Not with his nasty fastball, no. Instead of a fastball, Dave will be hurling a tomato.
And the pitch.
Ooh. Using tomatoes as baseballs won't go over well with anyone. But if you're looking to hit the ball further and throw better, eating a healthy diet that includes fruits and vegetables is a home run. Packed with nutrients, they could help keep your body healthy and strong, giving you the energy you need to hit that grand slam. When you look at it this way, eating tomatoes is playing hardball against the competition. Run, throw, think, eat better. Can your food do that? Find out at smallstep.gov.
That's smallstep.gov.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Empower Readings with Corby Mitlide. Your calls are next at 248-809-3475. 248-809-3475. Empower Readings on Empower Radio. EmpowerRadio.com.
Welcome back to Empower Readings. I'm Corby Mitlide. We have as our guest tonight Christy Seeley King of AskChefChristy.com and Kasia Cummings of Whole Health Evolution and Buffalo Gal Organics. And we are talking about detoxing your emotions, detoxing your physical body, detoxing all of the sludge in your life. Now, here's a question. Detox is very nice when you have a full fridge and nobody else to feed and your cats are there to cuddle you when you're feeling cranky pants. What do you do in all the circumstances when it isn't perfect? Let's go right to the thing that I work with all the time. I am on the road 3 to 5 days almost every single week. When I have to get food, I don't necessarily know whether the salmon is farmed or pastured. I don't know how much of the food is GMOs. I don't know if the restaurant really knows what the heck is in it. How do you maintain a detox on the road without having to carry food with you everywhere like you're Moses in the desert?
I carry food.
but there do you travel 40 weekends a year?
No, I don't. But every time I do travel, I carry food with me. That is part of one of those changes in life that I had to come to the realization that was the way I was going to have to deal with it. One, I can't afford to eat out like that all the time. And two, you're right. You're slim pickings to bad choices are often the only thing that you've got. And carrying your food with you is something you kind of have to get used to. Now, not everything you're going to eat, but I like Clif Bars. They're pretty decent for my restrictions, and I can get a meal replacement out of one of those. Now, not too much for the detoxification, but as far as not getting worse, not getting food that are going to make you have to detox from them later on, like, you know, cheeseburgers or something. And generally there are salads, and, you know, you have to do the best that you can do. If you don't know whether the salmon is farm-raised or regular or wild-caught, and that's your best choice, don't beat yourself up about it. I think that's part of the don't continually worry so much that you're adding more stress that you then have to detoxify from later. You know, give yourself the benefit of the doubt that you're doing the best that you can, and carry some food with you. things with you that allow you to snack. I think that's the biggest fallback is I don't have anything to snack on. I personally love ants on logs. I'm a big fan of celery and peanut butter and raisins, and those travel really well. I flew to San Francisco with those in my carry-on not too long ago, and they were delightful on the plane. So finding the foods that will travel well without refrigeration is part of that trick.
Okay.
So I'll let Kasia go.
Yeah, I think, again, it's pre-planning. When you do make a lifestyle change, you're always going to have to some extent, pre-plan. Like, you know, Chef Christy said, you know, sometimes you're making that celery and taking the ants on the log and bringing it with you. But again, you can't stress about the fact that you have to make the choice that would not necessarily be the best choice for you, but you still have to make it and do the best that you can while you're on the road. I was just in New York City, which is probably one of like the health meccas, you know, where there's a lot of green juices and everything, but I was on a trip that had 7th and 8th grade students on it, and it was very planned. And let me tell you, every restaurant we went to had no vegetables, nothing. So what do? You make the best choice that's in front of you, and you don't stress it. You don't sweat it because, A, you're not going to be able to change the fact that there are no vegetables on that menu, so you choose the ones that agree with you the best. Eat them. Eat a portion till you're satisfied, not overeating the portion. You give yourself the nutrition, and you move on. So this way, you're not creating that also that emotional backlash that you're going, oh, my God, I just dropped off the bandwagon, and now I'm awful and horrible. You made the best choice possible. Amen. And move on.
Oh, I think Kashi is touching on an entirely other show topic, how not to beat yourself up over your diet.
Is that you guys want to come back and do that later? I'll find time for you.
I was put on my first diet when I was 5. I remember going to Weight Watchers with my mother and watching her make her own ketchup in the early 60s. So, yeah, I have a full-on dose of that. And that's a huge thing, not beating yourself up over it, making your best choices and then moving on and doing the best you can. Every decision you make has to be the best one that you can, and you can't beat yourself up over it. I have a client that's going through lifestyle changes right now, and she went on a trip, and she ate what to her were comfort foods, the foods that her family had as comfort foods. And one of them was, they call it pizza goo with canned biscuits, I guess, and cheese and pepperoni and sauce all baked together. It's kind of a casserole pizza thing. It sounds really greasy, gloppy, and not appetizing to me now. I think at one time that might have appealed to me, but not so much now. So she ate that, and she ate stuff with her parents, and she ate with friends, and she ate poorly, and she came home with gastrointestinal distress. She had huge swollen ankles. We're talking cankles here. She had all kinds of problems, and she laid there miserable going, okay, I now know better, but I thought that these were easy and comfort foods. And I said, now you have to retrain yourself to find comfort in foods that make you feel better. So that's a whole other discussion about your emotions about the whole dieting thing. And have I been good? Have I fallen off that bandwagon? Yeah. Deep, deep topic of conversation.
One of the things that I heard was bring things to snack on. Yet at the same time, one of the most difficult things that, especially in America, with food available 24/7, we need to deal with is learning what hunger feels like, because if you don't know when you're hungry, you don't know when you're full. So how do you deal with that on a detox? Do you do snacking? Do you stick to your 3 meals, even if it's difficult? What do you do?
Something that I have just instituted for myself is not eating after dark. And I have never been a breakfast person until now. And boy, howdy, am I ready to eat breakfast when I get up in the morning, because I'm hungry. And I have always allowed myself to eat late. I didn't ever start eating until late. And I figured, well, I'm still eating within an 8-hour time frame. It's just shifted later in the day. But I recently read a study on circadian rhythms and insulin response. And I thought, okay, I'm going to give this a shot, and it's summertime, so it gives me until 8:30, 9 o'clock at night anyway. And I'm experiencing hunger, and I'm actually enjoying that, because I know I'm not going to starve to death, and I know I'm doing this for a good reason, and that, you know, as soon as I get up in the morning, I can have a nice breakfast, and it has totally shifted my entire way of eating. That's one way that I have found to be able to experience what you're talking about, getting to know what that hunger feels like. Because I didn't eat breakfast because I wasn't hungry. I didn't start getting hungry until after 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And now I am. So I think that's one way that you can do it that's not threatening. You're just shifting your schedule.
Okay.
Well, you know, as well, you know, most of us don't know what it feels like to be hungry. We have, you know, we eat lunch at 12 because that's when we're expected to eat. And we eat dinner when we come home because that's when we're expected to eat. We set these systems up for ourselves. And when you start to switch your food around, you may find, especially on a detox, because you're not eating all of the extra snacks and different things, that you may be hungry. And it's okay. And truthfully, anyone that I've ever worked with, and they always come to me, what if I'm going to be hungry? What do I do? How am I going to manage this? Because it's an emotional issue too, because you do feel that you're not going to have enough. I tell them to eat something. If you're truly hungry, eat. Make a good choice. Give yourself something that's nutritionally dense, not a bag of potato chips or a cookie. You're eating something that will fulfill you. If you feel a little bit hungry, drink a little glass of water, 8 ounces. If you're still hungry 15 to 20 minutes later, really hungry, eat. You don't need to starve yourself when you're on a detox. In fact, I think that's the worst thing you can do because your metabolism drops. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. And to go back to the, you know, talk about the gastrointestinal, you need to keep your fiber up. If you are detoxifying, you need to keep a good bulk going because that helps move things through and prevent them from reabsorbing into your colon wall. And especially if you have leaky gut, which is more common than we know, you definitely want to have plenty of fiber in your diet by way of fruits and vegetables and supplemental fiber. I know you said you didn't do pills, but I think supplemental fiber – taking even several pills of supplemental fiber still only gives you a couple of grams. You still need to eat lots of fruits and vegetables to get 30 grams of fiber a day, which is, you know, roughly where you want to be. So, yes, eating too little during a detox can definitely get you in trouble just from your elimination standpoint.
Yeah. What about all these juice things that people say you should do, because juice is so cleansing and you know, it eases the digestive system and. Is that a false assumption?
I don't like juicing because it removes a lot of that, and neither does my dog, evidently. It removes all of that insoluble fiber. I like Vitamixing, blending, and then eating everything as a smoothie. I think that's a much better way to do it because then you're getting all of the fiber in the balance that the food produces it in. And I think juicing gives you a lot of concentrated sugars, especially if you're heavy on the fruit juices. And you're taking all of the fiber out of the green vegetables. So a Vitamix is great if you're going to do a lot of juice-based foods. Or a real heavy-duty blender. And that way you're getting all of the goodness from the fruits and vegetables in a more digestible form because you have mechanically chopped it up into small pieces, you're going to get all your nutrients out of it that way.
Yeah, I agree as well because, you know, when you stop getting that fiber into your system, a lot of people, when they go on a detox, they actually get constipated and they're thinking, I'm eating all these fruits and vegetables, what's going on? But they're not hydrating enough. They need to have more hydration. And through water all the time, and also having the fiber, especially not juicing, but doing things like the Vitamix. That's what I do in the morning as well. I have my smoothie every single morning. I add chia, I add hemp for protein and essential amino acids, and then fruits and vegetables. Now, if you want to supplement with a juice, with a meal, and you've done, you know, some nice green veggies, some nice leafies, and you have a little bit of celery that's very alkaline and detoxing, and some apple and some lemon and kale and parsley, yeah, absolutely. But that shouldn't be your main meal, quote-unquote, replacement for the day. The fiber, really, you do need it to pull those toxins out.
Okay. So how do you know what should you feel like when you're doing it right?
I'm gonna let Cassia answer that one first.
But you can feel great, and then you can feel mean, nasty, cranky, sleepy, angry, dejected, and then again, you can feel wonderful. As you start to process the toxins out of your system, those first few days, and I firmly believe in actually doing a pre-detox week where you start to wean yourself off of the things that would be the bigger culprits like sugar and caffeine. Those two things I feel you should gently take out of your system so that you don't have very, very deep swings of emotion coming into your detox. That being said,
not to mention the caffeine headaches from withdrawals. Those are fierce.
It's awful. Yeah. So when you start doing those first few days, you will be tired. You will be sluggish. You are taking the time to cleanse your full system. So expect not to be running around and doing jumping jacks and cartwheels and life is wonderful, because you're cleaning the toxins out of your system. You need to remember that. You will feel emotional swings depending on how toxified you are. If you do this regularly 2-3 times a year and you're going with the seasons and you're just really, you may not feel it as intensely. But for people, the first time I did detox, I was mean. I was angry. I was so hungry. And I think, Corby, if you remember, that
yep.
one night you were in town, and I, you know what? Good thing she was sitting across the table from me, because I would have had eaten my hand and her hand too. I was that hungry. It was just,
yeah.
you know, do you remember that? It was
I sure do.
So encompassing. So you can experience a full gamut of emotions, and you should expect that, especially if it's the first time that you're going through this. And that's normal. You need to be gentle with yourself. You need to be open for those emotions to come to you, because you're trying to get rid of them. And you need to be open enough to let them go. That is just as important. If you're tired at 7:30, day one, day two, day three, guess what? Go to bed. Relax. Sleep. Let your body heal and repair itself. That's what you're setting yourself up to do. So don't expect to be Superwoman running around with your cape all unfurled. You need to be gentle and take care of yourself. Don't do crazy exercise. Do bending, stretching, some gentle yoga, things that will move your energy slowly within your body that are gentle and calming, because that's what you need to do.
I know when people would come in and ask about this, one of the questions that I would always get was, I don't need to be like staying in the house, do I? I don't want to have to be, you know, not wanting to get more than 10 feet away from a bathroom. That's doing it too much. If you
yes, I agree.
Feel like you have gotten to the point where you can't get without 10 feet away from the closest restroom, then you are detoxifying too quickly. Now, I do think that a certain amount of additional movement, if you're doing a whole lot of extra fiber, you're going to be having some religious bowel movements. Let's just put it that way. But you shouldn't feel like you have no control over it. That's definitely a sign that you are overdoing it and that you should dial back and take it a little bit more easy on yourself and plan on doing another cleanse down the road. Don't try and do it all at once. It's a slow process.
How do you ask people to support you when, you know, the family doesn't want to do the diet or your friends don't want to do? How do you get people to support what you're doing so that they don't, you know, it's people think it's funny. Somebody is dieting and somebody else says, oh, you have to have a piece of this cake. I mean, it's cruel. And so what do you do to protect yourself and get assistance out in the world?
You know, the thing is, people are your biggest supporters and your biggest enemies sometimes when it comes to dieting. If they're not in the same place where you are, they can be your biggest enabler, especially if you centered your relationship around food with them.
Yep.
If you know, you have your date and you go out and you're having your coffee and then you have your pie or you have your dessert or whatever it is. So it may be difficult to interact with those people, but you need to take the strength from within you, knowing that you're trying to do something better for yourself. And you just, you know, if they try to say, hey, oh, it'll just be one bite, don't worry about it, you're going to be fine, you need to be strong and knowing in your conviction that you're doing something very good for yourself. And you just say, no, thank you. Or you eat ahead of time and say, you know what, I already had something, but I'll have that tea with you. I'd love to hear your thoughts, and I'd love to be in your company. So you'll have to psychologically pre-prep yourself and get yourself ready to handle those types of situations. And just know that it's okay to say no. And, you know, because many of us can't do that yet, but it's okay to say no.
It's more than okay to say no. No is a fabulous idea. That's one of our mantras here. Christy, a quick thought for Christy, and then we're almost out of time. I want to have you guys quick tell people where to find you.
Okay. One of the things that I wanted to say was you can always suggest to do something else. I had a birthday party, and I said, as long as it's not food-based, I'm good with it. And we ended up going to the museum when there was a jazz trio there. It was free, and we told people to meet us there, and it wasn't food-centric at all. So finding other things you can do. And the other one I want to say, you mentioned, what do you do when you have a big family and not everybody's on it? Buffets. Buffets are your friend. Let people make their own taco bar. Let people do their own things, and you eat the things that you can eat. They eat the things that they can eat. Everybody still has a community meal together. So those are a couple of coping mechanisms that you can try when you're doing something away from everybody else.
Okay. Yeah. Obviously, we're going to come back with the second show like you were talking about. But real quick, Christy, go. Where are they going to find you?
AskChefChristy.com. And it's a work in progress, but I have a free gift offer up called Your Well-Stocked Pantry. So come and sign on to my list and click on that, and you'll be able to get that for free and ask me questions that you might find difficult to answer in your diet or your cleansing process or whatever. I'm a food historian and a researcher, so ask me your esoteric food questions. I'll find an answer.
Cassia, where are they going to find you?
You can find me at WholeHealthEvolution.com. You can drop us an email, sign up for our list. We're going to be constantly adding new materials and new programs, and we're actually developing a emotional eating program that will be posted online hopefully within the next few months. So we're working on that. Keep your fingers crossed that it comes to fruition. And you can also find me at BuffaloGalOrganics.com for organic, vegan, and natural skincare.
And Corby, you can find at firethroughspirit.com on Facebook at Corby Mitlide and Fire Through Spirit, or call me at 877-321-CORBY. Next week, I will be broadcasting from the left coast, yes, the wilds of Southern California. And my guest is going to be the fabulous artist, author, visionary Wendy Peeney, and she and I will be literally sharing a mic and discussing what it is like for California dreaming. So, stay tuned for the wonderful David Farkas. The Fark Man is next. Thank you to our engineer, Remy, for that wonderful tomato commercial. And all of you out there, remember that detoxing means also not only getting rid of what you don't want, but having more of what is good for you and supports you. So until next week, this has been Empower Readings with Corby Mitlide, Christy Seely King, and Cassia Cummings. It's been such fun. Have a great week. We'll see you next Thursday.
Thanks, Corby.
Thank you.